help us to commence this evening with hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word, from the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receiveth tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. May God bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God, we do thank thee, Lord, that we have been brought into thy house this evening on this thy day. We do return thanks for thy goodness to us. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, that thou art draw near and go with us this night. May we be shut in with thee. Do drive Satan out, Lord, we pray, and shut us in with thee. May we be lifted above the reach of all inferior things, our hearts and minds set on things above. Thoughts of this life, next week, last week, Lord, may they all be taken away, and may we be lifted up above these things. We do pray that thou draw us rich. How we need thee, Lord, to draw us. Draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, how we long for that drawing influence of the Holy Spirit. May it, Lord, be our portion. We do pray that thou look down upon us in love and mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. Lord, we do mourn over them. We do grieve over our poor returns as we look back over the last week. Oh, what have we got to bring before thee? But Lord, there's sin mixed with all we do. Oh, do come and cleanse us from all sin and uncleanness, we pray. We do pray, Lord, that thou shed thy beams of love into our hearts. And Lord, help us to confess our sins before thee. Grant that true spirit of confession. We cannot, Lord, confess unless thou dost work in our hearts. Oh, we would hold back. We would hide those things. But may we come just as we are, this evening before thee, for thou dost see us as we are. May we come before thee then, and may we be given that spirit of true prayer and supplication and confession, that we may lay all at thy feet. O Lord, we are wretched creatures indeed, but Lord, thou art a merciful and gracious Lord God in heaven, and we do pray that thou art in love look down, and in love hear our prayers, and remember thy loving kindnesses and thy tender mercies, and Lord, remember not the sins of our youth. We do pray, Lord, that thou art grant to each here that hunger and thirst after thee, that thou wilt work in the hearts of each, that we may see our condition by nature, that we may have those arrows from thee, though thine arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. O Lord, we do pray that those arrows may be sent forth, and they pierce the hardest hearts. O Lord, do aim thy arrows, we pray, and Lord, may there be that convicting of sin. Oh, and may there be that bringing down. May there be that casting into the dust. Oh, may there be that bringing of thy people into want. And may we be brought by the Holy Spirit to our right minds. And may we be brought unto thee. Oh, convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. We pray, Lord, for each here. Thou knowest how each have come. Oh, Lord, may there be those with a desire, a hunger, a thirst. That desire, we would see Jesus. That crying out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May there be some, Lord, who have come this night seeking a word from thee. Oh, Lord, send none empty away. May there be a purpose in our gathering together. Oh, we gather and seek to worship thee, but Lord, may there be a purpose in love, an eternal purpose. Things, Lord, that last. Something good this day, done in thy most holy name. May there be something that remains at the end of this service, that we can take home. Oh, Lord, may it remain in our hearts. May that good seed, Lord, be sown, we pray, and may it take root into our hearts. Lord, may there be the prepared hearts, those that are ploughed up. Oh, how painful that ploughing is, but how necessary for thy word to take root. Lord, we do pray that thy word this night may meet cases and touch hearts. May it bind up the broken hearts. May it be a light to the feet of thy people. Oh, may it be a word of peace if it could please thee. But Lord, if there are those who need a word of correction, and how often we need it, Lord, do speak, but be not silent, Lord. We long to hear thy voice. We dread those silences from our Lord. We dread the silence. Oh, Lord, do speak to us, we pray. Be with those who seek a renewing of the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Those who look back at former days and long for their evidences to be made clear. Oh, Lord, do confirm them in their way. Oh, speak to them again. Turn thy face upon them. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. O Lord, we pray that thou'lt grant thy presence here this evening. May the Holy Spirit work mightily, we pray. May there be a power in the pulpit and power in the pew. May there be that praying for one another. May we be given more grace and more love, we pray. May there be that flowing together, a love for one another, a praying for one another, a bringing before the throne of grace each various cases. May we esteem each other better than ourselves. O Lord, may we dwell together in unity. We do pray that Satan may be kept out. For Lord, how busy he is, Lord, when thy church is prospering, Lord, how Satan is angered. We do pray that Satan may be kept from us each. We ask, Lord, that thou remember those who are unable to be here. We pray, Lord, that thy word may reach them. We pray, Lord, that thou'lt be with them where they are. For thy word is not bound. Thou art not bound by walls. Lord, thou art omnipresent. We pray then that thou'lt be with them where they are. May there be a portion for them. We pray for those, Lord, who have no desire to be here. We think of those prodigals, Lord, who have gone off to a far country. Now we do pray, Lord, that the words they've heard in former days may be brought back to their remembrance. Oh Lord, how we've proved over the years that thou canst bring back words, Lord, that we've heard many, many years ago, unawares of it, and yet, Lord, it comes back with conviction and power. Lord Jesus, we pray that thou'lt work in their hearts. Bring them back, we pray. We seek not our own honour and glory. We seek the honour and glory of our eternal God in heaven. And we pray that thou'lt gather in thy people for thy honour and glory and for thy great name's sake alone. We pray for those, Lord, who are unwell and ask that thou'lt heal them. Thy people up and down this land, many in distressing circumstances, it's through much tribulation. But Lord, that tribulation is painful, and many a trying hour. Oh, do meet with each in a special way, that they may be upheld by thee. Oh, do meet with us each in the unknown way. As we look ahead, Lord, we fear what lies before us each. As we look around at the country in which we live, and much to mourn over. Satan and his plans and devices seemingly prospering, and the Church of God, Lord, in our low estate, we do humbly pray that thou would overturn, turn our captivity, we pray. Oh, do look down upon us, remember us for good, make bare thy holy arm, overturn the desires of Satan, we pray. Oh, and come to our aid. We pray for an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. We would not tell thee what to do, Lord, but pray that thou would do it. Lord, thou knowest what's needed. We do thank thee that thou art on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And though Satan is a mighty foe, and we must never underestimate his power, Lord, thou art almighty and all-powerful.
Oh, then do come to our aid, we pray, and be with us in this service. And Lord, as we leave, do go with us each, and may thy blessing rest upon us each, as we pray all things, seeking the pardon and forgiveness of our many sins. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life. Thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. 1111.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 7. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from verse 19. Hebrews chapter 7, the 19th verse. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law of Moses, the law that Paul is writing of here, is a perfect law, and it's the law of God. But you know, friends, not one of the sons of men and daughters of men from Adam to the end of time will be able to look at that law and see themselves perfect in it. That they will never be able to look at that law and see that they have kept it. Men may be under the illusion that they have kept it. But you know, friends, not one of us ever has or ever will be capable of keeping this law. And so Paul here is writing, and to the Hebrews, we must remember the context that these letters are written. He's writing to the new Christians, this group of Christian people, the early churches, these who have been in the past Jews, Hebrews, following the religion of Judaism, who are under immense temptation to be dragged back into the old covenant, the Old Testament, who are under great attack from the various Pharisees that are around about. Paul here is writing to them, and there's one word that stands out as you read the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it's this word, better. A better sacrifice. A better covenant. Better promises. A better priesthood that we read of. And we have in our text, a better hope. A better hope. We read in the Gospel according to Mark, of a young wealthy ruler who came to the Lord Jesus, and he says this: "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You think, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Are there any of you this evening who have come with that question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, there's one answer, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave it. And it's this: keep the law. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has an answer for to that young man who says, what shall I do? He says, keep the law. You keep the law. That's what you must do.
If you want something to do, if your desire is, what shall I do? He says this, keep the law. It's a commandment of God to keep this law. And the Lord Jesus, he knew that young man. He knew him. He knew his thoughts. He knew what his reply would be. And so he says this to that young man, thou knowest the commandments. He knew him. He knew what his, he knew this young man and what his spirit was. And he said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. That's it. Keep the law. Sinner, keep the law. Now, how does that make you feel? When you've come asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus Christ reading out the law of his Father and saying, keep it. Thou knowest the commandments. We all know them. You keep them. Is your reply like that young man? And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. You know, the Lord knew him. He knew in his heart. He had the impression that he'd kept all these laws. He says, I've kept them. I've observed them from my youth. And we read this, and it's only in Mark's Gospel that the Holy Spirit has permitted and enabled and constrained and commanded the writer of this Gospel to state this statement. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, to me, that is a most remarkable sentence. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And then says to him, one thing thou lackest. And that's it, isn't it? He lacked one thing. Now, you could read this account and say, well, he had a bank balance full of money. And you could read this account and say, the Lord was telling him to do works. You see, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ saying, do that, and you'll inherit eternal life? No, it isn't. Is it saying to you tonight, you're wealthy. Sell all thou hast, give to the poor, and you'll have eternal life. No, he's not. He's not. Eternal life, friends, cannot be bought, cannot be earned, cannot be merited. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching this young man to trust in him. You see, we go on to read, if we read that account, that the Lord said that his hindrance was this: how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The trust he had, it wasn't in the Lord Jesus, it was in his riches. And beloved friends, it's the same today. If your trust is anywhere other than in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will tell you to remove it. He'll tell you to flee from it, and he'll remove it from you himself if need be. But he will have us leaning on him. And there's plenty of rich men, beloved friends, who are found in heaven. Heaven isn't full of those who have had no money. Don't mistake the word of God. Joseph of Arimathea, we read, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea,
begged the body of Jesus. You see, it's where your trust is. It's where your hope is. This dear man, he was loved by the Lord. You know, I mentioned this in a sermon, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, I thought that man wasn't one of the Lord's. We read he went away. We read this. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And I said, well, yes, he was sad. But you know, friends, when the Lord shone a light into my heart and showed me my sinful condition and showed me how far short I came to fulfilling the law and showed me how far off I was and my wretched condition and showed me that I had to forsake all things and follow him, I went away grieved. How many of the Lord's people have gone away grieved from the house of God when they've heard those things? This is the way, walk ye in it, and it's not painful to the flesh. And we go away grieved from the house of God. We go away grieved from his presence. It's not always nice to our ears to be told that we're worthless, wretched, lost sinners of this earth. It's not nice to be told that you still lack one thing, even though you think you've kept the law. It's not nice to be told that all your chapel attendance and all the things that you think you've done good in your life make up no ground, make no entrance into the kingdom of heaven, unless you are founded on the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his blood, his resurrection, his ascension into glory. It's not your life and my life. We're worms of this earth. We have nothing good to bring. And those things that we do good in the sight of God, we only do them through his grace, friends. You see, you can't get past those words. The Lord beheld him and loved him. Can you? You know, that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. You know, the Pharisee will say, well, but he still lacked something. Yes, but the Lord loved him. The Lord sent him away sad, but the Lord loved him. The publican crying unto the Lord, he couldn't even look up his eyes, even to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was a man with his face in the dust. He was a man who felt unworthy. That we read, the Lord says this, he went down to his house justified. Well, we don't read he knew it then, but he was justified in the sight of God. Oh, you know, what a mercy we're not saved on our feelings, isn't it? You know, that man went away sad, but he was loved with an everlasting love. For the Lord cannot love someone and then not love them. The Lord doesn't begin to love someone and then drop them. The Lord doesn't begin a work in someone's heart and leave it. The Lord doesn't bring someone to fall on their face before him, crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and leave him there to languish. He may leave him for a time, yes, but there'll be joy in the morning. The night may be long, but joy in the morning will certainly come, it will. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord kills, he makes alive. Oh, may we not confuse our feelings with the love of God. How often Satan will tell you that the Lord doesn't love you, and you have to say, well, I can understand it. Because you have your own feelings, don't you? And you can't understand how the Lord could even look upon you, let alone love you. Oh, but this dear man, he was loved, and that's it, isn't it? He had the law, and this law, it makes nothing perfect. It made
didn't make that man perfect. It didn't give that man eternal life, did it? He hadn't kept it. One thing thou lackest. You say, what commandment hadn't he followed? One thing thou lackest. He was leaning on something other than Christ. His own keeping of the law. His own good works. He had a high opinion of himself. He was trusting in his riches. He didn't want to part with them. Why? We don't want to part with some things in our lives. We don't read this man didn't or did. But the point is this, friends. The Lord loved him. And that's it. That's it. The law didn't make him perfect. The love of Christ to that poor sinner made him perfect. That gave him the eternal life. Oh, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Our friends, we can't do anything, can we? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to say, well, that's it, and there's nothing to do, and there's to sit back and we put our feet up, and if I'm one of the Lord's, I am, and if I'm not, I'm not. You know, don't have that spirit, friends. You can't have that spirit if you're one of the Lord's. You see, you can't work your own salvation. I can't give you it from the pulpit myself. You can't take it yourself. But what you can, and what we're commanded, and what we're constrained to do by the Holy Spirit working in us, is to pray to him. Whatever is wanting, his grace will supply. Oh, you say, I have no concern of these things. Well, friends, may the Holy Spirit work in your heart and give you a concern. You can't make yourself thirsty. You can't make yourself hungry. You can't make yourself hear. Our ears are in tune by nature to Satan. By nature, we're captives. Now, if you go out into the world this evening, they will look at you and say that we are the captives. But you know, friends, they are. They're the captives, and they don't know it. They are serving Satan. And by nature, they love him. And they follow whatever he says. And their ear is only open to his voice. And their eye only beholds him and his things. And we're all the same by nature. We're all born at this starting point. That we love Satan. We love sinning. And we have this enmity with God. That's a shocking starting point, isn't it, friends? But it's the truth. And it's only by the grace of God that our ears are open. Oh, I've been thinking much on that. The desire of Solomon at the end of that beautiful book, I think it's the second to last verse, it's the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Isn't that your desire, friend? Maybe you see others of the Lord's people brought into us a saving knowledge of him, and you see them being able to walk in his commands, and oh, you have a desire in your heart. You can't deny it. You know, you're like one of those outcasts of Egypt. You're still in Egypt. You can't claim to be one of the Lord's dear people, but you can't fit in the world anymore. The Lord has made a difference in your life. The things you once loved, they've lost their sparkle. They've lost their appeal. The old friends, they're not as amusing as you thought they once were. And there's a drawing to the house of God and his people, and suddenly some of the Lord's people, there's an attraction in them. There's a beauty in them. I don't mean a physical beauty. I mean there's a beauty in... They may not have anything, but they seem to be have everything. And you've tried the pleasures of this life, and they can't satisfy. There's nothing lasting in them. It all fizzles out. And so you're one of these outcasts. Ah, may the Lord continue to draw you in, to bring you in. You know, this is the drawings of an Almighty God. He draws you away from the world. He draws you out, and despite yourself, you know, by nature we wouldn't choose his ways. You wouldn't choose to love the Lord. You couldn't. How could you? You're born at enmity with God. Oh, to see if you have a little love for this man, if your heart leaps a little at the mention of his name, the name of Jesus. Oh, is it soothing to your ear? And how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Does your heart lift at his name? You know, you can't put that in your own heart. You can't. Is there an attraction in his word? How about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, is it a trumpet to you? Do you hear it as music? Is there an attraction in it? Or is it as the world hears it? You know, the world hears that trumpet being blown. And you know, it's a racket to them. And they hate it. They hate it. Oh, but is there something that you hear? You hear of this dear man. A man who takes away the sin of the world. The Son of God. This dear man, he came from heaven to earth for his dear people. And why? There's an attraction there. Do you see everything that you lack in this man? Do you see tonight the law? And it's not making you feel perfect tonight. When you read out that list of the commandments to follow, you can't say like that dear young man, "These have I observed from my youth." You say, "I've broken three or four today in thought." Oh, and you see the condemnation, and you say, "Well, how will ever I be found if I'm his? How will ever I be found in heaven? I look at the law and I'm certainly not perfect. It doesn't make me perfect." But you know, there's a hope. There's a blessed hope. There's a hope, you see, the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He beheld him and he loved him. He didn't love the man's sins. He didn't love the man's attempts to fulfill the law. He loved the sinner. Oh, and he loves his dear people. And it's a love that knows no bounds. It's a love that passeth all understanding. And it's a love that you will never understand. And the more the Lord shines his glorious light into your heart, the more you'll have to say, "Why me?" You know, that seeking soul, he goes from saying, "Lord, remember me. Remember me with the favour thou bearest to thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation." He goes from, "Lord, let there be room for me in thy house." Oh, and when the Lord in love leads him, lifts him up out of the dust and sets him on high, and he goes on his way singing the praises of God. Why doesn't he in the pilgrimage thereafter have to keep coming back to, "Why me?" You know, if the Lord showed us all of our sinful hearts at the seeking, at our seeking stage, why? We'd be beyond hope, wouldn't we? We just wouldn't know what to do. Oh, you see, as we grow and as we travel, and as we come through this pilgrimage here below, the Lord, he teaches us and he shows us more of ourselves. You know, and you look at yourself and you say, you know, I can't keep myself for one moment. I can't keep myself for one hour. Lord, leave me not. And as the burden of making an open profession is more upon you, you say, but it's the Lord. It's his honour and glory. How will I make it through at last? How will I not bring reproach and shame on his name? How will I endure to the end? How will I not make shipwreck? Oh, it's leaning on him, looking unto him, trusting in him, hoping in him, hoping in this dear man. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better sacrifice. The bringing in of this better hope. There was hope for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ lay in that manger. He's the hope of his dear people. He's their only hope. They have no other hope of fulfilling that law. You know, we have no other hope. We are by nature helpless. And you know, the Lord's people are brought to that point. And they will all be brought to that point. They may be brought in varying ways, because we're all varying characters, and we all need various ways to bring us. Some are very proud, and some are not so proud, and some are hard-hearted, and some are naturally distrusting. Oh, but we all need bringing, and we must be brought, if we're the Lord's people, down to his dear feet. And you know, friends, some of us have taken some bringing there. And you know, those arrows that the Lord fires into the hearts of his people, why, you can't get them out. And you struggle against them. And you'll try and pull them out. And you'll try and carry on with them. But he'll fire more and more at you until he brings you down to his feet. But you'll be brought to this point. And it's this: you'll be sick of yourself and you'll be fond of him. It'll be all in him. He'll be the only hope that you have. You'll be led away from any hope that you had in yourself. You'll be led away from all your trust in your own things. You'll be brought to that point of no hope in myself. There's only hope in the Son of God. I see the law, and it makes me anything but perfect. Oh, but I see the Lord Jesus Christ. I see him descended from heaven for his own dear people, taking upon him the form of a servant. And I see him tempted. I see him suffering, being tempted. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, so that he was able to succour us in our temptations. He had to take upon him a human body and a human soul. For his dear people have human bodies and human souls, and now we have a human soul that needs salvation. Why, beloved friends, we need to see this dear man. Oh, one glimpse of him. One glimpse of him will lift that beggar out of the dunghill. That's that poor beggar who's bowed down under the weight of the law, who sees that they've transgressed in every part, who feels that they cannot come. How can I come? I can't even approach unto God. How can I come unto him and say, Lord, forgive my sin? It may be right for others, but you know, you say, no one has as much as me. No one brings as much as me. How can I come? I'm a vile, vile beggar. How can I come unto him? The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labour. And you know, that dear man, he was labouring, wasn't he, under those laws, trying to keep the laws, it's come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. You bow down with sin. You bow down with struggling and striving under the law. Oh, may you come unto me, he says. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from your labours. Rest from your burdens. It's come unto me, you prodigals. You say, well, I'm not a prodigal. But friends, it seems quite clear to me that each of the Lord's people are prodigals. The Lord, having loved with an everlasting love each of his dear people, they were loved by the Lord in eternity past. He loved them the same then as he does now. And they were his then. And yet through their birth, through Adam, they've all fallen away. Oh, they have. And so they're prodigals. They were loved in eternity past. They're loved throughout their lives, and they're loved in everlasting glory for eternity to come. But, you know, friends, they're prodigals. And they're born in trespasses and in sins. And they're born not with a knowledge of their love. They're not born. The Lord's people aren't a special people born with an inbuilt knowledge that the Lord has loved them. They're born in as the same as every other in this world. They're born dead in trespasses and in sins through the fall in Adam. And that's how we all are. And they don't have a special inclination that they're loved with an everlasting love until the Lord meets with them. Oh, friends, you say, oh, we read that 15th chapter of Luke, and that beautiful account of the prodigal, and you read that, and he began to be in want, and that's it. All of the Lord's people will be brought to that point. They'll begin to be in want. They'll see the law, and they'll want to fulfill it, and they'll see that they can't. There was something that they haven't got. They'll see the Lord's people have peace, and they want it. And they begin to be in want. And then the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. Oh, and he brings them. And he draws them. And then you read in that account that he came to his right mind. He came to himself. Why? The Holy Spirit working in his heart. He came to himself. That's it, isn't it? And you see, he saw the Father, and in his Father's house, he saw that the servants had all the provision they could want. And his Father, he says, I've transgressed. And you feel it, don't you, friend? You feel how far short you've come. You say, I can't come back. I can't come unto an almighty God with all this. How can I? Oh, he'll cast me off. How can I come? He says, I'll come as a servant. You feel that, do you? You feel you want to come, but you can't. Your mind won't let you get round the fact that you have to come as a son. You say, I'll come as a servant. You're trying to work a little bit, aren't you? You're still trying to make yourself a little bit better before you throw all at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You're still trying to make amends for some past offences yourself before you throw all at the foot of the Lord Jesus. Oh, and you say, I'll come as a servant. And so you come. But you know, the Father saw him a great way off. And he sees you, friend, this evening. And you say, I am a great way off. But he sees you. And he knows you. Oh, the Father, you can't come to the Father as a son, as a servant. You've ever been a son. You were loved from eternity past, beloved friend. You can't come unto an almighty God and plead that the Lord will have mercy on you, and yet you'll do this and you'll do that as well. Oh, friend, it's coming to him and confessing all and saying, Lord, I am a wretched sinner, and I have transgressed in every part thy holy law. But I hear this better hope. I hear that there's hope for sinners such as I. I hear that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I hear that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, and I hear that the Lord's dear people, why, they don't merit it and they can't earn it. And Lord, I don't deserve it. And Lord, I'm unworthy. Well, friend, you fit the case. You have the marks of one of the Lord's people, for they're all unworthy. And you say, well, I'm a sinner. But they're all sinners. Do you see yourself fitting in with this group of people? Oh, and they love the Lord. You say, well, I do love the Lord. Ah. Oh, you fitting in with this group tonight, friend? This group that the Father gave to his only begotten Son. This whom the dear Son fulfilled every need, every expectation of the law, fulfilled all the law for his dear people. He lived the life that they couldn't live. The Father had given him that gift and said, and commanded, and love the Son undertook to bring them each to glory at last. And you know they're some of the vilest sinners, and you say, well, so am I. Why, friend, you know, they're in that gift. They're not in there because they're better. They're not in there because they're going to do something to deserve it. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome. And friends, do you feel a need? Oh, do you feel a need this evening? I'm not saying do you know that the Lord has died for you, but friend, do you feel a need? Do you long to know that he has died for you? Do you long to have the hope in this dear man? You see, it's by the which we draw nigh unto God. It's through this dear man that we draw nigh unto him. We're made nigh by the precious blood of Christ. Out of Christ, we're far off. Without the blood, we're far off. We cannot approach. We cannot enter in. Oh, but with blood, with the precious blood of Christ, we are accepted in him. Oh, sprinkled on our hearts, on our consciences, sprinkled on our wretched lives, that precious blood of Christ, it cleanses from all sin. And the Father looks at his dear people through his Son. Do you need that hiding place this evening? Do you feel a need to hide? Do you feel your shame when you see the law? It doesn't make you feel perfect. Do you need a hiding place? Do you say, where will I hide in that great day? We read the rocks and the caves will not hide us. Where will we hide in that great day? Do we long for a hiding place? When the wrath of God comes upon the children of men, oh, to have a hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Friends, I believe firmly, if you can sing that hymn from the very bottom of your heart, friends, you'll be found in heaven at last. But it's this, isn't it? When I shall launch in worlds unseen, oh, may I then be found in him, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Faultless. You know, he'll present you spotless and faultless before his Father. Oh, the joy to see hymn writer says, I read my name upon his breast and see the Father smile. You say, really? The Father smile? My name written on his dear son's breast. Oh, what wounds I've caused him. Oh, what suffering I caused his dear son. My name's written there. Why, the agonies that I laid on him, that were laid on him on my behalf, and see the Father smile. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Do you understand the love of the Father? Friends, oh, he sent this better hope. He sent this better hope for his dear people. It's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. The only way. He is the only way, friends. Oh, and this love of the Father. You say, I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it. It pleased the Lord to bruise his own dear son. Oh, do you understand that love of the Father? He loved his only begotten son, yet it pleased him to bruise his own dear son for his people. Oh, and the Lord Jesus Christ, it were an easy part for him the cross to fly, but love to sinners fills his heart and makes him choose to die. And he chose each one of his dear people, and they in love, and they constrained by him, choose him in return. You know, we wouldn't make that choice. You wouldn't make that choice, and I wouldn't make that choice. We couldn't make the right choice. And any man who tells you that it is your choice is misleading you. Friends, you cannot choose him unless he first has chosen you. You cannot love him unless he has first loved you. Friends, do you have a desire to be made nigh by this precious blood? Do you have a desire to be found sheltering and hoping in this dear man? For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And we'll close with these words from the end of the epistle of Jude, and it's these. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £620, and for the Needy Cases Fund on Monday to £823, for both of which we're very thankful. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard, and God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 564. Dear Lord, forbid that we should boast, save in the cross of Christ. Here may we confidently trust and solemnly rejoice. 564.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this evening. Do take us each home in peace and safety. Be with us each in the unknown way. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.